First John chapter number 3. We're going to look at the last two verses in chapter 2 in just a minute as well, but I think chapter 3 ties in with those last two verses of 2. Verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Father, thank you this evening that we have thy word. Thank you, Lord, today that we have the privilege of prayer. We can bring our requests and our supplications to thee. And Father, tonight we ask you for your unction and your anointing power. We ask that your word might go out tonight and bring encouragement and comfort to our hearts. And teach us tonight what you find here in your word tonight in this day and age in which you and I live. And Father, tonight we ask you that for everything that's done to lift up, exalt, and glorify thy Son, for it was he who loved us and gave himself for us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been studying about in the book of 1 John, and a lot of it has to do with the assurance of the believer. The word know was used many times in the book of 1 John. But it also tells us how to weed out the counterfeits and how to know if a person is a counterfeit or for real. When he gets to chapter number 4, he's going to deal with false prophets and the way to identify a false prophet. We've already looked at it. He's already told us that in chapter 2, but John brings it out a little bit more clearer maybe in chapter 4. But here tonight we find a great encouraging message that God has left for you and I this evening as his children. I don't know if you've ever thought about the great comfort that you can find tonight from these few verses that I've read in your hearing. But as you look at verse number 1, it begins with the word behold. And you know, you see that word sometimes and we just kind of slide on across that word because it doesn't seem like that word holds much value for us this evening. But there's great value in that word. Over in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Psalms, there's a Hebrew word that's often inserted in the psalm, many times at the end of the psalm, called Selah. And it literally means that to take time, to sit back and just meditate and think about what the psalmist has just said. And the word behold is kind of like that. It kindly means you need to stop for a moment. You need to just behold. You know, sometimes we're so busy talking and so busy tonight doing other things, we don't seem that we really listen to the Lord. But here John is telling us, behold. You need to stop and look and listen and meditate for just a moment on what I'm about to say. And this evening, that's because what he's about to say is comforting words to the child of the Lord. If you read about the history of the world and you read tonight about the history of the time that John lived, you know that there was great persecution of God's people, of God's chosen people tonight, of God's church. When you get to the book of the Revelation, you find that John himself become exiled upon the Isle of Patmos tonight for simply teaching and preaching the Word of God. I don't know tonight, but that may happen again in this nation. In many places around our world tonight, it's a crime. You can be imprisoned and even executed for nothing more, nothing less than proclaiming the Holy Word of God. And so when John is writing this and he makes his statement, behold, think for just a moment. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What great love the Father has for us. Now, We know about the love of God many times, but John says here that because of a very special thing that God has done for his people tonight, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. What a comforting thought tonight to think about that the creator of this universe, the all-powerful God of glory, is literally our Father. In the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, Paul talks about Abba, Father. He talks about how that we have become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has placed us tonight in his family. This is my Father's world. And he owns the cattle upon a thousand hills tonight. Have you ever thought about what great love you have tonight, God had, that he's allowed us to come into his family? Some people think they deserve to be in the family of God. But I want you to think about something for just a moment. Jesus used an illustration about a man who had two sons. And one took his half of the inheritance and went out and wasted it in riotous living and wound up in the hog pen. The Bible says when he was in the hog pen that he came to himself. And he thought, in my father's house, the servants are better off than I am. And he said, I'll arise and go to my father and I'll tell him I'll just be a servant. I'm no longer a son. I'm no longer qualified to be an heir. I've done everything wrong. But if he'll just let me come back and let me live in the servant's quarter, I'll be a servant for him. I used to love to hear Billy Kelly sing that song, "Like a Prodigal Son." I wandered from Jesus, but the Savior sought me through the heat and the cold. And I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. You know, if God had just took us in tonight and said, hey, you can come live out here in the old house in the back. You can just sleep in the servant's quarters. I'm not going to make you part of a family, but I'll forgive you of your sins and you won't have to go to hell, but you can just live out here in the servant's quarters. But God didn't say that, did he? He made us a son. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You see, he didn't just give us a cabin out back. Thank God he's prepared a mansion for you and I this evening. And that's the love that God has for you and I, that we tonight can call ourselves the sons of God. Now, some people have taken this to the extreme tonight and declared themselves as if they were deity. That's not what John is teaching us here. He's teaching us tonight that we are in the family of God. We are part of God's family tonight. And he is our Father. Then he makes something else. He said, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Just because we're son of God, we shouldn't expect special treatment. Just because tonight God has allowed us into his family doesn't mean everybody's going to bow down to us. Doesn't mean tonight that we're always going to be understood and well respected. It said the world's not going to know you. Why? Because it didn't know him. You know, sometimes people get so upset and we get to the point we think, well, you know, it's bad. And the world's against us. Well, thank God the world's against us. Amen. If the world wasn't against us tonight, we better look at something else. Why? Jesus said the world hated him and it would hate us. John here is saying that, hey, the world didn't know him. It didn't accept him as the Son of God. It didn't accept him as the Savior of the world. It didn't accept him tonight as the Redeemer of the soul. It took him to Calvary and nailed him to a cross and let him die in anguish and pain and shame. So what do you expect to be treated any better than Jesus tonight? The world's not going to bow down at your feet. The world's going to prosecute you and persecute you. And the world's not going to know you. Beloved, I like this. Now, are we the sons of God? Right now. You know, some people don't believe that. Some people don't believe that you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. Some people don't believe that you can know you have eternal life. There's one group of people that believes that there's only going to be 144,000 in heaven. And the only way to get there is that you have to be better. You have to do all these good deeds. I got to thinking about that one day. How would you like to be that 144,000th guy and you're standing there, boy, you're rejoicing, you're fixing to go in. And about that time somebody said, wait a minute, whoa. This guy that's number 38 on the list, we looked here and we've overlooked something. And this other guy has got to come in here at number 39. We missed him. And number 144,000, you step out of line. That'd be me. I wouldn't even get 144,000. Don't misunderstand me. But you see what I'm saying? But John didn't say that. He said right now, at this very present time, at this very present hour, are we the sons of God? Amen. That we have that something that's eternal. That God tonight has done something tonight eternal for us, and at this very moment of time, we are in God's family. I don't have to wait for the judgment to find out tonight. I'm already there. I'm already in God's family, you see. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I can read about it in the scripture. And my little finite mind probably can't understand all that God is telling me about the verses that he records in his word about heaven. And I've heard many people through the years, and I say many people, several people, you know, they've claimed they've died and they went to heaven and had all of these experiences, and I've never believed that for one simple reason. Paul died and went to heaven. When he came back, he said, it's unlawful for me to even try to tell you what was going on there. And I believe if God had wanted somebody to reveal it, it had been the Apostle Paul, not somebody else. But I don't know what we're going to be, except for one thing. We're going to be just like Jesus. I said, how is Jesus going to be? Well, John takes care of that. He said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Evidently, we've never seen Jesus as he is. I think the closest maybe they came to seeing Jesus as he is was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter and James and John were there with Jesus, and the Bible said he was transfigured before them. And You see, Jesus is God. He is the Almighty God. As I've said before, I believe in the Trinity, but I cannot explain it. But Jesus is God. And the Bible says in the Old Testament that no man can see my glory and live. When Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, they were naked and unafraid before God. But after sin came, the Bible says they made them clothing out of fig leaves. And when they made this clothing, and God came walking in the cool of the day, and he drove them out. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, think about this. God's so glorious that man cannot look upon him with his natural eye. God says, no man can see my glory and live. And he told Adam and Eve, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. At that point in time, they spiritually died. And they could no longer see God as he was. When Jesus came, he was robed in a body of flesh. He was God tonight, incarnated in this body of flesh that he walked around in. He was transfigured there on the Mount of Transfiguration. On the night before his crucifixion, when they came to take him, and they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am. And they all fell back. And I believe for just a moment of time, a little glimpse of his glory was once again given. But we've never seen Jesus in all of his glory tonight. The Bible says that when he comes again, one of the things that he's going to bring destruction with is the brightness of his coming. And if you read over in the book of Zechariah, it talks there in one of those chapters about at the Battle of Armageddon, when they're battling for the forces and the control of the world outside Jerusalem in the Valley of Megiddo, and those armies are assembled. And it begins to talk about how that the flesh literally deteriorates from their body. It talks tonight of how all of this is going to happen. And I've read several years ago about how that people said this was a perfect example of a nuclear explosion, and they expected the world to end in a nuclear holocaust. But the more I studied the Bible, I found that there's something that's going to be more horrific than a nuclear holocaust. And that's when Jesus comes in all of his glory tonight and reveals himself as he is tonight. And the armies of heaven are following him tonight, and they're going to be clothed with that same glory. I want to tell you tonight, it don't stand a chance. A nuclear bomb tonight is no comparison to the glory of God. We've sinned short and come short of the glory of God, but God has forgiven us and placed us in his family. And he's going to make us just like Jesus one day tonight. And we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. Listen to me this evening. That's comforting words. Because I look around tonight and I see all of this world. As one fellow said not long ago, I listened to him preach on the radio, and he said, going to hell in a handbasket. But tonight, I'm not going to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to glory with Jesus. Amen. And I want to be just like him one of these days. That's comforting words. We're going to be clothed in the glory of God as were Adam and Eve in the garden. We're going to find that Jesus Christ has bought back that for us, which they lost. Verse 3 said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Verse 28 of chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, not that he might appear, but when he shall appear, Jesus is going to appear. He's going to return. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, when Jesus comes, I don't want to be ashamed before him, do you? Sometimes I think about how ironic some things are. Things begin to get a little dirty, messed, disorganized in our homes. Somebody says, well, I'm going to call somebody to come in and clean my house for me. I'm not able to do it. I don't have time to do it. So they pick up the phone and they call a cleaning service. Well, we'll be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they spend the rest of the night cleaning it up because they don't want to see the folks that's coming to clean it how nice it is. Now, you ever thought about that? I know people that this basically been true of. Well, they were ashamed for somebody to come to their house to clean it. They didn't want somebody to see it like that. Do you really want to be ashamed when Jesus comes back? I probably told you this before, but I think the greatest illustration I've heard was by a preacher that used to live down in Florida, and he said that he used to preach on the radio every Sunday morning, and said that the little room that he would go into to preach, he said they used it for all their local broadcasts, and he said they had an ashtray, and it would be falling over, and paper would be scattered everywhere, and the walls needed painting, and it was just a very messy room. And he said, you know, I'd go in there and preach live out to over the radio. And he said, one Sunday morning, I went in. He said they had brand new furniture. It was clean as a pin. They had painted the walls, had a new microphone. He said everything was just beautiful. And he said, I got through preaching. I went in and I saw the station manager and I said, man, what's going on? What's happening? He said, oh, hadn't you heard Paul Harvey's going to be here tomorrow to make his broadcast? They didn't want Paul Harvey to see the room like that. You know, we ought to be thinking tomorrow Jesus may come. We want to make sure we're not ashamed of him before he's coming, is what I'm saying tonight. Because you see, the great comfort in that is knowing that Jesus is coming. And we can have confidence tonight. We can be confident tonight that he is coming tonight for us. I don't know when. I have no idea. But it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. But Jesus is coming tonight. And I'm a child of his. And I'm going to live with him forever and forever. And so this evening, as John tells us tonight, every man that has this hope. What is that hope? That's Jesus in you, the hope of glory. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley not long ago, and he was talking about Christ in you and explaining it, that we were in Christ and Christ was in us, and he was explaining it. And Dr. Charles is a great preacher, a great student of the Word, and I was listening to him. I thought, years ago, I heard an old country preacher really explain it. And he said, you know, when you go coon hunting and you get that coon up in a tree, said that coon's in the tree. But said, you can shake him loose. But he said, if somehow or the other that coon could get that tree in him, you'd never shake him loose. And he said, that's what the Lord's done for us. We're not only in Christ, now Christ has gotten us, and you just can't shake it loose. I thought that made pretty perfectly good sense to me. And you see tonight, I've got that hope tonight, the blessed hope tonight, that if Jesus doesn't come before I die, thank God to be absent from the body is going to be present with the Lord. Right. And so tonight, comfort. Paul said that the second coming is for many reasons. The preaching of the second coming is for many reasons. But one thing he said is comfort one another with these words. That means it brings encouragement and help. And you know, we all need encouragement from day to day, from time to time. We need somebody to encourage us and lift us up and praise us. Praise Jesus and tell us everything's going to be all right. Jesus is coming soon. What great words of encouragement John writes to us this evening. We are the sons of God right now. Christ is coming back for us. And hallelujah, when he comes, we're going to be just like him because we're going to see him as he is. Amen. All right, if you'll stand together with me. Most of you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.